Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel, and this week I am joined by another dad. I'm talking with Ryan, and he has two kids on the spectrum. We are getting into a lot about dealing with an autism diagnosis as a dad, how you process that, how you move on from that, how you deal with that. So I won't keep you guys any longer. Please enjoy my conversation with Ryan.
All right, I'm back, and I'm really excited this week because it's not often I get many dads on here, but I am joined by Ryan. Ryan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was scrolling through your Instagram before we hopped on here together, and you have two sons, Parker and Dustin. Am I right?
That's correct. Yep. All right. Parker is a six-year-old going on seven, and Dustin is three going on four.
Okay, cool. How's it going with them? They're back in school now?
Yep, they're both back at school. Parker's in the first grade, and then Dustin is in pre-K.
Okay, cool. Now, both of them are on the spectrum. Did you see any signs with either of them that led you to think maybe, they could be on the spectrum, or, how familiar were you with autism before they got diagnosed?
Yeah, so for me, it was different. I had actually never even heard the word autism, autistic, mm-hmm. anything like that. So for me, I think that the first clue with Parker was the lack of speech. So he's still considered non-speaking, non-verbal. He didn't really meet any of his speech milestones, but, we always want the best for our kids, and every doctor's appointment we went to, we said, yeah, he's got, five words, and the doctor would just kind of say, yeah, that's okay. No big deal. We don't need to be concerned. And so, the doctor's a professional and I'm not. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, like, especially you have two boys, a lot of people like to say, oh, boys develop later, boys talk later.
I heard the same things, man. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I heard those exact words that, the boys talk later. They're boys. They'll mm-hmm. develop later. Girls develop faster and speak first. And so, no words. And then years that it would, first year comes by, then he turns two and, starts to become more of a concern. And I don't know about you or your experiences, but in this experience, it starts to become, okay, well, you need to get his hearing checked first. And then after the hearing check, then you need, if the hearing's fine, you need to, enroll in speech therapy. Right. And so, at that point in time, I start doing some Googling. and during my Googling, I see, parents just kind of going into speech therapy, and then the kids come out like 6 to 8 weeks later and they're talking up a storm. So I think that's exactly what's going to happen with Parker. So I'm like, all right, cool, we'll put him in speech therapy, he'll come out and he'll be talking up a storm, I won't be able to shut him up, and we'll be good to go. I was still just kind of, I guess in a way you can kind of say I was naive about it, because in my searches, I did come across autism, but I think I just didn't want to see the signs mm-hmm. that were there. It was just right. kind of one of those things. I was like, yeah, that's not my kid. It's like he doesn't do those things. And but looking back now, he certainly did. That from five words, he went from five words to one word, and it's still just the same one word he has now. And he did some arm flapping when he got excited. And so it was just, it was those things that I just kind of, I didn't want to see them because, you know, I didn't want him to, when you look up autism online, there's a lot of negative things about it.
Oh yeah. It's all, you know, doom and gloom.
So I didn't want him to struggle, you know. None of us want our kids to struggle. So that it was just kind of like, that's not my kid. He's going to go into speech. He's going to come out in 8 weeks and he's going to be talking up a storm, and
yeah,
we're just going to move on with our lives, you know? And, that's not what happened. So,
so at what point did, I know you were doing research on your own, but at what point did other like therapists or doctors start talking about the possibility of autism?
You know, it wasn't until much later on, and we actually had to bring it up. And I say we, my wife and I, actually had to bring it up. She did a lot of Google searching, and then she kept sending me, you know, things about autism.
So
I think she was already like, I'm here, but you're not. You know, she's like, I believe he's autistic, and I'm like, nah, it's just a speech delay, because that's, you know, that's what the doctors kept saying to us. So we actually had to bring it up to the doctor, and then the doctor said, okay, I really don't think that that's the case. We don't think he's autistic, but we'll give you a referral anyway. Mm-hmm. But we had to fight for it. You know, it wasn't like the doctors weren't coming at us saying, yeah, you know, there's a good possibility or anything like that. They were just like, nah, he's a boy. I'm looking at him right now. It was, you know, he doesn't look autistic. he doesn't have the mannerisms of autistic person. And I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of those same things, you know, they don't look autistic. And it's like, what does autism look like? It doesn't have a look, you know?
No, it's funny. We were told, our son Alex did a neuropsych evaluation when he was like 3-4 years old. And it came back for ADHD and sensory processing disorder. But back then they said that he was too social to be on this spectrum, even though, you know, he had, you know, some of those classic symptoms, the arm flapping and the lining up of his toys and things like that. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's tough because it's so subjective. You know, it's not like you can do like a blood test or an x-ray or anything to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, with Parker, we ended up getting on a waiting list. Mm-hmm. It was a 7-month waiting list. I think by the time the actual, you know, interview or however you want to call it, diagnosis piece came across, my wife and I were already it kind of just coming to the terms that he's autistic.
Right.
And so we were already kind of there, but I mean, just for some reason, hearing it and seeing it on paper is a lot different than, you know, just accepting it as you go in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, it still kind of hits you. It's like, okay, we're ready for an autism diagnosis. We're ready. He's autistic. It doesn't change who he is. He's still an awesome kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but then you see it on paper and hear it out loud, and it's just kind of, it still hits you. And that's what happened with us. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned your son, because my youngest is exactly like that. The doctors told us similar things. Oh, he's too social. He gives people hugs and high fives. He doesn't run away from people.
Right.
But he flaps his arms. He lines up his toys. His speech, he has more words than my older son, but he's not really communicative yet. Okay. So it's, you know, the words are there. He does the yes or no's and things like that. So people would just be like, oh, he's just developmenting later. And it's like, well, what about the arm flapping and the lining up of the toys? And And as a baby, he had like four words, and then the four words disappeared, and now he's gained those words back, but
okay.
we had to work for them. So, but because our oldest was already diagnosed autistic, no one argued with us. We're like, yeah, we believe, our youngest is autistic. And they're like, oh, you have an older son on the spectrum? Okay, no problem. Let's get you, let's get your youngest diagnosed and tested and interviewed and do all the things.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like a much easier process with my younger son. But it still hits the same way. And in a way, almost a little bit harder on the second one because, and I hate to say it, but we scrutinized him. We I don't mean scrutinized, but we like watched him under a microscope. Like,
yeah.
Was that a hand clap or was that just, him copying his brother? Was that, right. Truly lining up toys or like, is that just the way he's playing,
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we did the same thing. Our other two sons are neurotypical, and we did the same things with them. Like, I mean, you still look at it through the lens of, are they developing properly? Or they should be when they, it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And
so, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's about the extent of our getting our diagnosis part there. So.
So now they're in school. Like, what kind of school do they go to? What does their day look like?
So we're quite lucky with that. We were nervous about it. We thought we were going to have to go to private school, special school. Luckily, the school district in the area that we live in is very equipped to handle severe special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the process with Parker, I thought we failed because they basically do the same thing at the diagnosis. They're diagnosing our kids as well. So,
yeah,
they go in and they say, let's see how he does imaginative play. And Parker doesn't do that. And, it's like, okay, let's see how he handles standing in a straight line. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen either. He doesn't do that,
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was all the things that he couldn't do, and that's always bugged me too. It's always focus on the things I can't do instead of the things I can do. But I almost felt like we failed. So I was kind of surprised when they came back and said, well, here's two to three schools that we think your son would do well in. And, they can handle severe special needs children. And so, that kind of worked out for us. And my youngest goes to the same school. So my youngest has the same special ed teacher that Parker had. And it's just a really good school. It's worked out really well for us. I know that's not how everybody's schooling goes, but mm-hmm. we got really lucky on that.
Now, as a dad, I don't know if you thought this way, especially, I know you're not supposed to say it these days, but especially with having boys, you have all these visions for what they're going to do. Like, they're going to play sports. They're going to play, travel baseball, and they're going to do this, and they're going to, do that. When you get a diagnosis like that, like this, it changes things. You kind of have to pivot. And, instead of going down, this road, you got to make a left and go down another road. How did you learn to adjust from whatever you envisioned for your boys to, how did you adjust after hearing their diagnosis?
That part was actually a little tough for me too. I know we kind of discussed a little bit before this, but you look you look through my Instagram photos, a lot of the early photos I have of my kids, they're wearing baseball hats for baseball teams. And,
yep.
My baseball mitt is like, you know, wrapped around them as they're holding a baseball.
Yeah.
My family's involved in auto racing. So, you know, as soon as I could, I put them in the family race car. Cause you know, that was something I had hoped that, right. that they would want to do when they got old enough to do it. So, you know, I had those same thoughts. I'm like, you know, we're going to play baseball and we're going to get T-ball and I'm going to do the dad coach thing. And, mm-hmm. And you're right. When the autism diagnosis comes in, all of that kind of changes. And in all honesty, it kind of goes out the window. You know, because then my thoughts are different. And now it's like, okay, I just want them to be self-sufficient. I could care less whether they play on a travel team. You know, because then
yeah.
then I. You know, it does hit me in the feels still that they probably won't play on a travel team. However, we have found a local special needs baseball team here. So, you know, we tried that out and that worked pretty well. So I like you said, you just kind of take a left turn now instead of travel ball. It's just, you know, kids running through a field and mm-hmm. not caring about grabbing a baseball, and as long as they're happy, that's pretty much all I care about there.
Right, and I think that's really important to emphasize because, you know, it looks different from what we originally envisioned, but it's still good. I mean, you know, your kids are happy, my kids are happy, and you know, in the end, that's what's important. It doesn't matter. If, you know, I mean, I had the same thoughts for my other two boys that, oh, we're going to do sports and we're going to do this. We're going to travel to a different ballpark every summer. And, you know, my 9-year-old will tell me, I don't like sports. You know what I mean? So diagnosis or not, you know, we kind of have to put away what we envisioned and kind of, you know, I always hear people say, meet your kids where they're at.
Right.
You know, so yeah. That's important. The last question I have before I let you go is, what advice would you give to a dad specifically that's either, you know, got a child that's newly diagnosed or is going through that process now?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, there's just so many things. I would just say, kind of like what you just said, you know, try to meet your kids where they're at. Mm-hmm. Also that an autism diagnosis isn't the end of the world, even though it may sound like it at the beginning. Right. You know, they're still the same great, awesome kids. The other thing I would say is do your best to learn how to be patient with them. I think that's a lot of parts where I struggle, you know.
I've definitely gotten a lot more patient.
Yeah, I have too. But I can definitely say that I struggled early on with the patience and
yeah.
You know, trying to learn, you know, how to discipline them. If you can discipline them, it's not the same as you would think. It's not the same like when you grew right. up. So I would say just kind of learn patience and then just learn to meet them where they're at and that just the diagnosis is not the end all. It's just it's the beginning, and your kids are going to show you some very awesome things as time goes on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on today, Ryan. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I could be found on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, my page is My Heroes, Raising Boys on the Spectrum. And on Instagram, it's My Heroes on the Spectrum, because it was too long of a name on the first
one.
Only so many spaces on that one. But yeah, they can, everybody can find me there. I'm more than happy to share experiences or just listen to whoever needs it.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Ryan. I really appreciate you coming on today.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Thanks for tuning in another week, guys. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And without any further delay, here's the joke of the week. What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated. I'll talk to you guys next week. Don't forget, you can always hit me up on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. See you guys.